is that guy? The beginning of Mark has this very fundamental question. Who is that man? For we start Mark right away with John the Baptist coming on the scene. He comes from the desert. He's wearing nothing but camel's hair. He is wild looking, and he proclaims a message. Repent! The kingdom of God is at hand. The people are astonished by this. They look around and they say to one another, who is this guy who is saying these strange things? Could this be the promised one who we have been waiting so long for? The Messiah? And so John goes and he baptizes in the River Jordan. But he has a proclamation that one will come after him whose sandals he is not even fit to tie. The people hear these words and they can ask among themselves, who is this man who has this power? One day, an ordinary man appears on the scene. He is not handsome. He has no distinguishing features, really. He is just an average guy. But John treats him with reverence. He is baptized just the same as everyone else that came to John before, but a loud voice cries from heaven that says, this is my son with whom I am well pleased. The people around it, though, only hear thunder. And some think they hear a voice. But there is one thing for sure. Everyone's asking, who is this guy? Well, this man goes out into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights and is tempted by Satan. Tempted to turn away from the plan that God has for him, but he doesn't. He comes back from the desert and he proclaims this message. Behold, the kingdom of heaven is nigh. Repent! And believe in the gospel. This man goes down to a city. He goes down and he sees a bunch of people who are in need of help. He sees men who are sick, women who are in pain, and many people who are possessed by demons. And he says to the sickness, he says to the pain, he says to the demons, get out! And they all listen to him. The crowds who are gathered there in that temple, in that town, look around with one another and say, who is this man? Look, here is a new teaching. Who is this guy that even the demons obey him? This man continues going around all of Jerusalem and all of Galilee and all of the surrounding regions. People follow him from all walks of life. He even has an inner circle of 12 loyal, dependable disciples. And he continues. And his fame spreads to each town that he visits. Each and every person knows who this guy is by right now. But there's something off. You see, they go up to a mountain. And there, this guy, he's preaching. He is speaking wonderful words, a sermon that can never be done or redone in ever, and no matter what. And there he feeds 5,000 men besides women and children. He gives them food from just nothing but some simple barley loaves and 2 tiny fish. Who is this guy? Some might ask. Oh, maybe this is the one we've been waiting for. Maybe this is the one who we can crown the king. This is the guy who will come and take over the Romans, who will drive them out and make Israel the greatest nation on the world again. This is that guy. And they want to make him king right on the spot. But he departs and goes to a lonely place. That same day, he learned that his cousin, John the Baptist, died. He sends his disciples to the next region, across the lake. And there's a storm. The disciples are so scared, but this guy comes, and he's walking on water. It's amazing. Something like this hasn't been done ever in all of creation. A man simply walking over the chaos of this world? How is this possible? But they're afraid. And they're saying, who is that spirit out there? And the man says, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter, one of them, says, well, if it is you, Lord, command me to come out to the water, if it is you. He goes out, but he doubts and sinks. The man pulls Peter up, puts him on the boat. There is peace. There is calm. And his disciples are all wondering, who is this guy that even the wind and the wave obey him? It wasn't all good. This guy had some trouble along the way. He went into the courts of his own home, Nazareth. He went and he preached in the temple, same as he did for those other towns. But the people of Nazareth knew who this guy was. Isn't he just the son of that carpenter? Aren't his brothers and sisters and relatives just right here with us? Who does this guy think he is? His own family wanted to take him away because they thought he was crazy. There were other hardships. The chief priests, Pharisees, and elders of that day, they were saying, well, who is this guy? He is nothing more than a rabble-rouser, someone to stir up the people. He's just another one of those false messiahs that we have a dime a dozen these days. Oh, even worse, he might be the devil himself. For who else can command demons to come out of one another? Just who does this guy think he is? One day, the man sits down. He gathers his disciples around him and he says, who do the people say that I am? Some say, his disciples say, a prophet. Some others say, John the Baptist raised from the dead. Some even say that he is Elijah, come back into this world. And he asked them, who do you say that I am? Peter responds, well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. But he commands them all not to speak a word, because they might have confessed the truth, but they didn't understand it, not one bit, because immediately he told them of what he would need to do, what the Christ needed to do, and they rebuked him. Peter, the one who confessed that, even went and rebuked him, actually almost cursed him, and saying, far be it, Lord, that this should ever happen to you, and he said, get behind me, Satan. For you want the things of this world, not the thing of God's. The story continues. But the answer and the question is still there. Who is this guy? So far, no one's gotten it right. And even if they have gotten it close, they still don't understand. So who is this guy? Well, he comes in to Jerusalem on the Passover, riding a donkey of all things, fulfilling ancient prophecy. Behold, your king is humble, riding on a donkey. And there are palm branches, there are shouts of amazement and shouts of praise. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And the chief priests are still there, saying, who is this man? Look, the entire world has gone after him. This man goes to the temple, He goes up and he's appalled by what he sees. He overturns the money tables. He drives the oxen and the sheep and all of the animals outside of the temple into the crowded streets of Jerusalem. And he proclaims that this temple will be destroyed in 3 days. And in 3 days, will be destroyed, and in 3 days be risen up. And the people surrounding him are saying, "Who are you to say these things? Can you believe this guy?" He goes on to continue to preach throughout that entire Holy Week. He proclaims destruction upon Jerusalem, the scattering of their children. Who is this guy? This is the guy that we were praising only a couple of years, for these many years. The guy who we were waiting on bated breath. The man that we were promising and hoping to see a driving out of a demon. The healing of a cripple. The man who would maybe make some food for us. Just who is this guy? The man goes. And he shares one last supper with his disciples. He gives them his body to eat, his blood to drink. He says they will fall away. They proclaim they won't, but we all know they will. He goes and he prays in a garden. He knows what's about to come. He prays to God to let this cup pass from him. But his betrayer comes. He comes with soldiers, with guards from the temple. But he is at peace. They come at him with clubs and swords as if a robber in the night. They couldn't even do it in the daylight. And I can only imagine what those guards would have seen. They would see a man, plain, not handsome, just a guy, peaceful. And they might have said to one another, "This is the guy who's been causing all this trouble? We have a job to do." And they deliver him up. They deliver him up, and the people and the chief priests asked him, "Who do you say you are? Who are you?" He says, "I am the Christ." And they yell, "Blasphemy!" And they sentence him to death. But they can't do it themselves. So instead, they send him over to Pilate. And Pilate has been hearing rumors of this man. He's been hearing them from his own wife, who says that she's been sent dreams to not have anything to do with this man. Pilate, when he sees him, sees ordinary, plain, and downright unopposing. "Who are you? Are you the king of the Jews?" This man replies, "You say so." Pilate finds no fault in him. How could you? He knew that it was because of envy that the chief priests and the Pharisees brought this man before him. But he has custom to release for them bar one person at the festival. So he gives them a choice between two people. This guy, who is the king of the Jews, or Barabbas, who is a murderer, a robber, a rabble-rouser. And the people say, "Barabbas." His name means son of the man. Then he asked, What do you want me to do with the one whom you all call the King of the Jews? And they shout one word. Crucify him. Crucify. Crucify. As it gets louder and louder until it is only a shout and it can be heard all around Jerusalem. And Pilate has no choice but to capitulate. And so this man is beaten. A crown of thorns is tied together and forced on his head. He is forced to carry up a long, hard, heavy cross to a place called Golgotha, which literally means skull place. It is there that they crucify him. And the people come and see this guy. They see him naked, hanging on a tree, and they say, "This is the man who said he will destroy the temple and in 3 days raise it up? This is the guy? Come down from the cross, save yourself." So the two robbers next to him reviled him. One, however, was saved because he knew who this guy was. And this man lifts up his eyes to heaven, breathes one last time, and gives up his spirit. Immediately the ground will shake. It shakes, and the temple curtain, which is splitting off the Holy of Holies from the people, is torn in two from top to bottom. The dead who were in dead are risen to life. There is one man standing right there. He looks up at the cross and utters the seven words of the gospel tonight. Truly, he was the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. And how do we know this? It's not because he drove out demons. It's not because he healed the sick. It's not because of walking on water. It's not because he came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. It's because he dies. No one in Mark gets it right until this moment when a centurion, a Gentile, a Roman official, who would not have ever seen Jesus performing these miracles, who maybe have heard about them, maybe even saw him in Jerusalem from time to time, but surely he didn't follow him. It was this man who never saw any of that, only his death. And he proclaims the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, because he died. He died so that all of us might have life. He died because there was no other way for sin to die. He died because that was God's plan all along from the beginning of creation when it fell. So how do we know the gospel? How can we say it tonight in just seven words? Truly, Jesus is the Son of God. In the name of Jesus, amen.